I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Well, look who's back in the saddle.
Back in my sacred place, aka my bedroom. Paint reveal.
When the cat's away, we'll get new paint. That is, it looks vibey.
It's a vibe in here. I was like a little bit worried because the tone of the paint was slightly more neutral. Mm. And it, I think, came out like a little pinker than I had planned. I wasn't planning on necessarily like a pink bedroom. But I do have to say it's very womb-like in here.
Yeah.
And it is like incredibly soothing,
yeah,
to be in here.
Yeah, it looks like blushy.
It's kind of a blush. It's like a, it's, the color is called is caramel.
Mm.
Which off the bat was a fan, but then yeah. And I also read somewhere that like a pinkish color like this helps like reduce your appetite. So I was like,
sign me up
for me. Yeah. But we did a little feng shui.
Yeah,
those of you who tune in on Zoom know that this is not the usual view, but now
look at that.
My desk is in a different place. Things are activated. You can see some plants.
Look at that dancing light.
Look at this little guy.
Oh, he's like, thank God.
I know. We're both like, thank God.
I love it. It does look very like, it's very like femme, but in like femme power.
It's incredibly femme energy, but I was like, you know what, it's good to have some like intense feminine energy,
yeah,
in my life,
especially for like
I'm pretty mask in most areas.
Sleeping is inherently femme.
Mm-hmm.
It's like inherently, so I think a place of rest should be free of like toxic masculinity.
Yeah, it's vaginal in here.
It is.
These are like the inner walls of the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's labial.
It's a labia zone.
It's a labial space. And
not liminal space.
Not mad at it. Labial.
Labial.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy for you. That was...
Thanks.
I was traumatized on your behalf.
It's been one of the most stressful past months of my entire life, I would say. Not only did I have three separate jobs, just off the bat, like my minimum status is three separate jobs, but then I took on a fourth job, which was project managing an entire apartment renovation.
Yeah, you were like, you flipped.
I flipped a house.
Flipping
except
out.
Except I flipped it to myself.
Yeah, flipping out with Lars Marie on her own place.
Yeah, in my own place. But it is like I needed an upgrade. It feels very adult. Like it feels like a full, like a 2.0. Like even all my art that was, it's now off the walls, but there, most of it, I'm looking at it and I'm like, this no longer suits like my vibe in here.
Yeah, it's like it was like a real reckoning with your, who you were a month ago is different from who you are now.
I'm changed.
And I think a lot can happen in a month.
And it certainly did.
Certainly.
It certainly, certainly did. So get ready also for me doing lots of selling old furniture, old
poshing.
Art, poshing. I have a lot of clothes. And Mama's got to start funding some reimbursement. So get ready for me to start selling everything I own. Yeah, everything it must go vibes.
I've been seeing a lot of yard sale advertising, like on driving and around like WeHo and Hollywood. I feel like yard sales are, and I've seen people in New York posting about there's something in the air.
Everyone's purge. Trying to get rid of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, the purge is underway for sure. Wait, I need to talk to, I had a full, my first real, like, night out in weeks last night.
Really?
And I went to go see Fever Ray.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
How was she?
They.
Oh, she, they, okay.
They, them were incredible. I'm radicalized. They are the sexiest person I've ever seen.
I love that they are gorgeous, but like choose to be scary.
That's hot.
Yeah. That's like
and
true
their new
hot person.
Persona is like this like lascivious office worker, kind of Skarsgårdian male in like a big
suit. Oh, so you're
like a big tie. It's giving sexy, it's giving they, them, Jim Carrey from The Mask.
Oh, so you're fully in.
I'm so in. I literally was like, I am in love with this person.
What
I'm
is their
in
name?
Love
Karen?
Cotton.
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 You need to go
the Swedish.
Meet them.
No, I was like, we belong together. I was like, I couldn't take my eyes off them. I was just like, every move that they did, I was truly, it was a fucking rock star.
No, they bewitch. Was the crowd bewitched?
The crowd was bewitched.
Where was it?
It was at the Wiltern.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were playing.
Yeah. And Christine, do you know that drag queen?
Mm-hmm. There's
Christine opened.
She's amazing.
She is.
Love Christine.
Next level. Gary would have died.
No.
Christine is like.
She's the template.
Truly disgusting drag queen that is like. Covered in bruises, covered in dirt, and just like deranged.
Has those like piercing sky blue contact, like undead
deranged,
blue contacts.
Debased, just like fucking and sucking, but also makes music that is really good. But
yeah.
The music's all about like holes and like getting your hole dealt with. And like dicks and just like faggotry. And it's really next level.
No, I follow her on Instagram. She's like kind of, I feel like she's one of the original like spooky drag queens. And I think she came out of like SF, right? Let me look. I love that Fever Ray.
Christine did not disappoint. And I had never seen her outside of just like watching on YouTube or following on socials. So I didn't know.
Oh,
what
they're
I was
from
getting
Austin.
Into. Yeah.
Cool.
That's it. Cause I looked up last night and then I remembered it was like somewhere. I was like, oh, I got to remember that. And then promptly forgot it. But
yeah, I would have loved that.
It was really major.
Yeah. Fever Ray is so, they've just been doing their own thing for. Like they're huge in like a very niche way, and I still my one of my favorite pop culture moments ever is when I think they won the award for like Euro, like the Euro Grammy equivalent, whatever that is, and they came on the stage and it was actually I think Gaga definitely like lifted this look from them, but they were wearing sort of that like papal like red tall hat with like a veil. And they had like dripping flesh prosthetic. And when they accepted the award, they just went for like 30 seconds. And then everyone, like, no one knew what to do. And everyone just started like going crazy. And I was like, that's a rock star doll.
That's fucking rock
that's
star.
So
there's no more rock stars anymore, except when Fever Ray's in the building. And that is a fucking rock star.
Damn.
I was like, I want to go backstage. Like, how? Like, I want to
be a groupie. Yeah. Well, make it happen.
And just like the movements.
Yeah.
Like, just, it was really disgustingly masculine, but then coming from like a feminine body.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was the hottest thing. I was like, I, once again, I'm ready to fuck. Loadtober, gone. Loadvember,
here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have such good, they're kind of in the same way, like Royston Murphy is a rock star, like in like a very niche way. And like, obviously more mainstream, I think, than Fever Ray, but like that's, that just, people have been at it for decades and are just like cool ass bitches.
And just like doing whatever they want,
yeah, like,
and coming up with weird shit.
Yeah, although, yeah.
But the music is undeniably good.
I liked her, I liked their stuff when they were The Knife with that guy. I think it was her brother.
That was her brother.
Yeah. And she's Swedish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh! Lara's gonna move to
Sweden. I go, Karin.
Karin and Lara.
Karin, I love you. Sweden.
My partner, Karin.
This is, I'm Lara, and this is my partner, Karin.
Karin.
That's how I talk. I just immediately take on, like, a weird Swedish Euro.
We come to visit you after a year of you living there, and you're like,
I go, Karin.
Welcome.
Willkommen. I go, Karin, we'll be so happy to see you.
I'd be like, ah.
You're like, what the fuck?
That's great. I'm glad you had a night out amidst.
Thanks. I needed like an exorcism.
Shit.
And I was like, I need to be exercised. And these are the people to do it. And it was an exorcism indeed occurred.
Wait, so there's a new restaurant opening in Philly called Sin Steak Italian Nightlife.
That is
in Northern Liberties, where we got those cryotherapy. That was more Fishtown, but it's like sort of in North Philly area.
We need to book a Philly show tonight.
I know. We need to go to Sin.
Like, I'm ready to announce a Philly show tomorrow so that we can go to Sin and write it off.
It's at the Piazza.
You know I love,
Laura, we went to the Piazza.
I love a steakhouse.
Remember we walked through the Piazza? Harrowing walk we took?
This is your Piazza moment.
Sin.
This is what it all was leading up to. You incepted Sin before it was even a thing. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Carrie was like, we have to go on a walking tour of Philly. I'm taking you to the Piazza. You're going to be so excited. I can't wait. And then we walked and walked and walked and walked into like an empty courtyard that was such a letdown. I was like, who is this man who took me on this walk? But now I realize that you were taking me to Sin.
I was taking you to Sin.
It was just a year before Sin was going to open.
So Northern Liberties is like the, like, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like sort of the like very gentrified like Williamsburg area in Philadelphia. And there's a Piazza that has all these like apartments and condos. And it's like very cheesy. And like, but they have all these restaurants and bars. And like, I've been out there a million times. So this is like in the heart of like, you know, anywhere that's called Piazza.
But the last time we were in Philly, like what? Like March of 2020?
No, June of 2022. Or no, yeah. We were right there in the summer.
Yeah. And so it was still like weird kind of post-COVID times, I think. The Piazza wasn't fully thriving the way that a Piazza should be.
So it's called this isn't Sex Unique Restaurant. This is
Sexy
Steak Italian
Nightlife.
Wow.
Steak Italian Nightlife.
The owner is a fixture on the Center City, South Jersey Shore nightlife and social circuits. Oh my God, he got into hospitality and he was tending bar at such place. Listen to these. This is like so Philly. Chickies and Pete's, The Greenhouse, Memories in Margate, Del Frisco's. Wow.
Wow. We got to get there.
Yeah, we have to. I want a nice steak.
We need to collab with them on like a big Sexy Unique party the next time we go to Philly.
Steak.
Big steak party.
Steak. Italian.
Steak. Italian nightlife.
So anyone in Philly who has boots on the ground at the Piazza, give us a little like early whenever it opens.
Get yourselves to Sin now and order
a sirloin.
A filet.
New York strip filet.
No. Carrie, you are banned from ever ordering sirloin.
I know.
Again.
That was such
you
a mistake.
You always think that you want sirloin.
It was bad.
And I'm here to really tell you with love and light.
No.
You want a filet.
I want a filet. I had one good
or
sirloin
rib
once in my life, and I think it's
there's
like...
There's no such thing.
And I did. With like sautéed mushrooms. I had it once, and then it forever ruined me. Because now I just expect everywhere, and there and behold, it's the worst.
The
every time I have it, it's the most disappointing thing, and it's a disgusting...
You don't want sirloin.
No. At our bachelor party, my bachelor party dinner, I got a sirloin, and everyone was like,
"He got like chopped sirloin and mushrooms," and everyone was like, They wanted to be supportive friends because it was your night to shine, so no one was gonna be like, no, and intervene. But in my head, I was like, he's making the mistake of his life. And then, sure enough, the fucking slop came.
It was horrific. It was truly cow
a
food
massacre.
It was what they like cannibalized cat with a feed.
I wouldn't
cows.
Even have fed Tony that.
No, it was bad.
It was so bad. And truly, no shade to sirloin lovers that listen to this podcast, but you're sick for that. Sirloin's disgusting.
It really is the most horrific thing.
It really is only
never
allowed to be in like a stew.
Yeah.
That's the only
beef stroganoff.
You are not allowed to ever order sirloin.
I bookended COVID with beef
you
stroganoff.
You started COVID with a sirloin and you ended with sirloin.
I also just called it COVID. Speaking of unholy, USA Today has hired a full-time Taylor Swift reporter.
Honestly, smart.
Well, yeah, but it's like the guy is like he's a gay Swiftie, and he's like completely obsessed with Taylor. So it's just going to be like she's fascist.
She's gonna report her every move.
Yeah, she's incredible. She knows it's truly like propaganda.
Well, USA Today is also like, we're desperate for clicks,
yeah,
so we're
true.
Gonna do what it takes. And they're like, if this will get people reading our newspaper, who I truly don't know who reads USA Today, like I never even think of it, and then I remember that it exists. Like who
yeah,
reads
I don't...
that's like a fake newspaper. It's always seemed like a really fake newspaper, but now it actually seems more legitimate that they hired this person, so it's working.
The lady Swifties are very upset that a male was chosen.
Really?
They're like, this gay.
Well, the ladies, they're like,
this gay needs him. To be. Yeah, they're going to chase him to the
everyone's
the windmill.
All gay rights until
they become a Swiftie.
The USA Today yeah. hires the USA Today hires a gay reporter about Taylor Swift. And then everyone wants gays dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure he's getting
death
the
threats.
DMs that he's probably getting. Listen, faggot, I'll kill you and your whole family.
Hey, cocksucker.
Joe Jonas said that I read this the other day too. Joe Jonas said that he bought Nathan Fielder a drink at a bar, and Nathan Fielder sent it back as mayonnaise in return.
Wait. Oh, he sent him.
He like bought
mayonnaise.
Him a drink, like, I'm a fan of yours. Like he sent,
and
then Nathan sent him mayonnaise. I need him to reboot Nathan for you.
I know.
I'm a little like...
I'm excited, though, for his show with Emma
oh,
Stone.
Oh, The Curse? Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. That looks really good.
I'm a little like, this Jonas... I was too old for the Jonas Brothers.
Me too.
I don't care about any of the Jonases. I really don't.
Me neither.
They're like cute. I think I remember when...
Joe's hot, so...
Yeah, Joe's hot. Nick is hot. The other brother yeah. isn't hot, but like... I remember being at, like, the Pulse Memorial, like, a day after the Pulse shooting in Stonewall, like, in Christopher Street, and, like, Nick Jonas was speaking. And I remember we were all, like...
Oh, that was when he was really courting the gays.
Oh, yeah. Like, but they were like, now we're going to hear from someone that everyone wants to hear right now. Mm-hmm. Nick Jonas. And you could feel, even the gays at that point, like, we have a pretty the bar is low for like who will thirst in the most like desperate of times. But like even we were all like, what?
I'm obsessed.
So I've always just been kind of like, and then hence the Priyanka Nick Jonas wedding, like
that fakery.
I know that quackery, but like that government style year long campaign where it was just wedding after wedding and the blitz of a century, like a year's mm-hmm. worth of wedding content. And then the Sophie Turner, like, I just don't care. I don't care. Like, I like this. I like when he gets mayonnaise sent to him. But, like, other than that, like, I don't give a shit about him and Sophie Turner. I didn't realize. I can't access it. I don't see the Jonases. I'm sorry.
It's not for me. And I accept that. Though I did randomly fuck with, like, Kevin Jonas and his wife's reality show. I like watched it for a while.
They're cute.
And I was like, God, these people are really like trad. This life is wild to me.
They're like trad North Jersey people.
Yeah, but he also reads as very gay.
He's gay coded. I remember he has like gay mm-hmm. face. I mean, he's like cute.
He's more gay than Nick. And Nick was the one they were trying to sell as like fellas he might be.
But yeah, the Jonas, it never ends. Oh, and then one story that, speaking of like stan culture, like my little monster defenses went up because I saw someone from Bachelor Nation, Carly Waddell or Waddle, was mm-hmm. being interviewed on some podcast, probably like a Barstool type podcast. And I guess she went to NYU Tisch when Gaga was there and they were in the same like workshop or like program. And she said that Gaga would like hijack the piano during lunch and just like, as she said, wail her tunes mm-hmm. and like hijack everyone's, like she would just sing during lunch and everyone would be annoyed but her. And like she said, I was so annoyed that I had to leave the practice space to go sit and eat my lunch in the hallway because I didn't want to hear her.
Honestly, as someone who majored in theater my freshman year of college, I really understand being so fucking annoyed and over all the other theater majors around you.
That's true. But my paws up.
Your paws are out.
My paws are up. I'm like, what are you expecting of her? Of course she's going to sing.
She must sing.
She must
one
sing.
Must sing. When one is Lady Gaga, one must always wail.
And bitch, you're at theater school. What do you expect?
I know, but it is like psychotic. But that's like also why that woman ended up just being on The Bachelor.
I know. Then I was like, no. And she
and
says,
I ended up podcasting.
She does say like, she's like, come on. She's undeniable. She's obviously a genius. She just was annoying as shit in college.
Yeah, I mean, most are.
But I was my hater flag went up.
You said this bitch is chugging Haterade and I'm not here for
it. I'm not here to shame Gaga.
Stephanie?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, let's be real, like, I'm sure if that, I probably would have been annoyed too.
If someone's, like,
singing
literally
Wicked.
Grabbing the keyboard and, like, caterwauling fucking show tunes when you're just trying to, like,
eat my Panera. Eat,
like, truly, theater, they never can chill.
No.
I would go to class and I'd be like, I'm going to fucking blow my brains out in here if one of them opens their mouth. Just people out louding each other 24/7. There's no off switch. You're like, guys, it's Tuesday. It's 9 a.m. Like, we're going to talk about like Miss Julie for an hour. Just read the book and then participate in class. Like, this isn't an audition.
It's like the Fame lunch.
It's was out of control. I was like, I can no longer do this.
Well,
here we are.
Here we are. What else should we discuss?
We could get into this episode.
Yeah, let's get into it. It's a long ass episode.
It was long. It was a surprising one. Just when you think that an episode's going to be a standard 44 minutes
Ooh,
with
Roll
Sick,
no.
Bravo loves to say, this one's 54.
So this is like post LD and Monica.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy,
Sexy, Unique
Theater School.
Sirloin. Salty
Utah Queens. Monica goes to meet Angie K at like a very frou-frou flower wall insta-friendly bakery.
That's a to-go place for me.
Yeah.
So you order to go and leave. Yeah, I can no sit in the pinky.
Those macaroons did look good though.
Yeah. I will heavily fuck with like a pastry shop, but I can't do like a hot pink.
No.
Monica goes, you should put one of these walls in your house. Then you'll have a content wall. I was like, shut your whore mouth. I'm so done with
me too.
I'm done with her. She is so yappy and so annoying. And I honestly stand with Lisa when she goes, no one wants to be your mother, it sounds like.
Angie is like, to me in this moment, I'm like, she is Christ. She is Greek Christ. Like, I want to, I am she converting. She's like this.
She's on the cross. Wait, what do they do?
They go.
He goes like, oh, it's the shocker.
No, it's no, like, it's like a.
It's this.
But I'm like, I will convert if I get to worship. I think she is like Mother Teresa. That's at this point. That's where I'm at with Angie. I think she's her grace. Her forgiveness.
She's showing Monica many shreds of grace. Her also showing up to lunch with an unhinged, psychotic person who never shuts up and sliding them a book about learning to love themselves is next level.
Yeah, she goes, I thought this book would be good for you and your children. She goes, it's about loving yourself and asking for help when you need it. Ooh, and Monica she was gagged within an inch of her life.
She was absolutely gagged.
You could almost hear her go. Her like jaw, like, oh my God. Like she got her good. And I was so into it. Someone needs to teach this chick some manners.
Yeah, so Angie K. got Monica's ass.
She got her ass. She killed her with kindness. I mean, she is like, this person like reopened like a rumor that I'm sure she and her husband have been battling for years. And she caused a scene at her Greek Easter, ruined the like tranquility.
Ruined the vibe.
The goal
was not being Christ-like.
No.
And then Angie K said, you know what? I'll show you some grace and read this because you actually need it. You're unwell.
Monica's like, I really appreciated your Greek Easter. My kids, it was like the most family stability that my kids have had in years. And I was like, damn, shut up. God.
Yeah.
And then we see a photo of her ex. And I was like, oh. I went, oh. And then she went, my ex, his family was, he had so many brothers and sisters. I was like, yeah, we know he had brothers.
Oh, yeah.
And if he looks that good, then I'm sure his brother looked just as good. So I was like, good for you.
Wait, she fucked his brother?
Yeah. Or his wife, his sister's, maybe it was his sister's
husband.
Something.
God, she really fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay, someone said this and I don't disagree. How is what she did, and I know it takes two people to have an affair, obviously, but she goes on and on about her mom being so selfish and like ruining her life, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like,
oh,
you did the same thing.
You ruin your kid's life in some part by choosing to fuck their uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And taking away fun family gatherings for them. And now...
They live in a...
Your new baby daddy is LD.
Now you have to live with your sad, like, angry grandmother and your horrific mother who steals your car like a literal, like, Rumpelstiltskin goblin. So, like, yeah, you're right.
She said that her mom never came to any family gatherings, the holidays, until she like got divorced. And then she started coming to all of them. But my theory is, and this is just based on the knowledge she shared with the Range, I think that she didn't have someone to provide for her, because clearly once you like have that kind of affair, if your husband is the primary breadwinner, he's going to be like, bitch, you're off the payroll. And I think her mom started coming around because she went off the husband's payroll and got on the mom's payroll. That's my theory, knowing absolutely nothing and just having to guess.
Yeah. I mean, I believe Monica when she talks about her mom.
Yeah, I believe it's a very abusive relationship.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think there's some, like...
I think she's getting something fiscally out of it, which is why she's engaging. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you'd just be like, this bitch is so crazy. Like, I'm not going to have her around. I don't care. Like, I'll literally go work at McDonald's.
Yeah, I think she's definitely, like, her kids are being... It's really, like, and at the end of the day, it's the kids that are... paying the price.
That eldest daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like,
she's seen things.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. And I'm sure his family like turned their back on the girls too, which sucks.
I hope not.
Well, these Mormons apparently are pretty.
Oh my God. Yeah. And they're Mormon.
Yeah. They're Mormon.
Fuck.
So I'm like, I feel like they've been. I feel like the way they handle that shit is very, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Mormon listeners or like former Mormon listeners, but like
huge Mormon audience.
It seems like, well, one time at a show I started making fun of one and someone was like, well, I'm a Mormon. And I went, oop. So I need to be careful, but, it seems like the way they treat out like people who are excommunicated is very like Scientology SP.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're suppressed. So I'm sure. Yeah. So Angie's like, Angie didn't even mention the Sean of it all at this meeting. It was like implied.
What a gorgeous lady. She's like, you're just so unhinged. Let's focus on you and I forgive you.
She says her mom was an alcoholic who died when Angie was 8. So I was like, damn. So she's like, I had a crazy mom too.
They have mom trauma and they bond over that.
Lisa Barlow brings tiki torches to Wild Roses. She's helping her plan Bobby's Hawaiian-themed 13th birthday at a roller rink.
Whenever I see tiki torches now, I only think of, like, white supremacists.
Yeah, they've forever...
They're forever just, like,
tainted.
A Nazi thing to me.
Yeah, they fucking ruined...
And they're, like, lightly insurrection-coded, too, even though I don't think there were any, like, tiki torches at the insurrection.
It's related.
But then I started thinking, like, what if Lisa... was organizing the insurrection. And then I was like really imagining her being like, we're gonna storm the Capitol, we're gonna march right into the Capitol,
take back the vote.
I love that. She goes, get that Pence sign of him hanging, bring that over here. I love that.
Yeah, they really have ruined tiki torches, because I loved tiki torches as a child.
I loved a tiki torch. Now, I thought there's nothing more festive.
Now when I see them, my stomach flips. Like I'm literally like
someone's gonna die tonight. And like, it shouldn't be like that, but it is. You can soothe yourself by just imagining Lisa Barlow at the insurrection.
Wait, did you see Teddy Mellencamp and Vuki apparently like had beef because of the podcast that Teddy does with Tamara? And Vuki was like, you made a joke about where was I on the January 6th insurrection? And I have to say that I was in my condo in Puerto Vallarta and I have proof. I was like, okay.
She fucking dressed Teddy down and told her a thing or two. And Team Vicky for life.
God, Teddy cannot even land a joke. I was like,
fuck you, Teddy. How dare you come for Vuki like that?
But I love Vuki going, Vuki, and I have proof.
I have proof.
I was like, okay, we believe you. No one actually thinks you were there, but like, that makes me think that maybe she was planning on going.
She probably texted some people that were there.
Are you there?
What's it like? Send pics. She sent a selfie of her.
Oh, are you all right?
She got a selfie of someone like in Pelosi's office.
Oh my God.
Like a couple of her girlfriends. And then she texted a picture of her in Puerto Vallarta. And that's her proof. You just have to ask one of the insurrectionists that was there to see their phone.
Whitney has a jewelry line. I totally forgot that she has a jewelry line called Prism. Like,
I still don't believe that it's real.
No,
I
know.
Don't believe that it... Even though we saw it and we, like, are seeing this happening, I'm like, this doesn't exist, actually.
But that's how much, like, her plotline is so, like, murky to me. It's like, I just don't even like remember this stuff.
I think this is the first time we've ever heard of Prism.
She mentioned it last episode, I think.
Prism. But,
Prism. Thank you so much for all your help, Lisa. I have a lot going on. Can you believe? And then
she's planning Bobby's birthday.
Barla goes, oh my God, think of all the things that Bobby can do now that she's 13. And I was like, what? Get married? Like, is this Utah? Like, what the fuck are you doing? What can she do?
Yeah, what can you do at 13?
Get a golf cart, apparently. Which looks amazing.
Yeah. I know. That's the one good thing about, like, little suburban enclaves is, like, golf cart vibes.
Yeah, I was kind of, like, I was imagining myself as a kid living in that development that Whitney lives in with, like, the little creek in the background. Like, just driving around the cul-de-sacs in your golf cart looks really fun.
You know what really bothers me about her development, and I finally realized when I was watching this episode, is that it looks like the housing development from Poltergeist.
Oh my God, it does.
Wow. It's so Poltergeist coded.
Yeah, it's eerie. It's definitely like a true crime. Like, I feel like that little like man-made pond behind all the houses is like where you'd find like a body of a child or something.
Also, just like Utah in general, I feel like there's probably like deep spirits,
like, yeah,
lurking.
I mean, it was like forged in like racist ass manifest destiny shit for pine. Like, it's like very,
there's like indigenous spirits ready to fucking wreak havoc,
and so they should.
Mm-hmm.
Mary is not invited to Bobby's birthday, which I'm like, that's a good.
That's a great call.
Yeah. She goes, I think my kids are still traumatized from when Mary told them that someone in her parish careened off a cliff and died.
God.
She fell right off.
Flew through the sunroof over a mountain and landed in a neighborhood. She goes, is she alive?
No.
Then they start talking about Monica, and Lisa says that Monica is basically like disingenuous, and Whitney is talking about like Monica's claims of abuse at the hands of LD, and Lisa goes, I love when things are conveniently abusive.
She basically says,
like, you're fucking real for this.
She also goes, I don't feel bad. I feel like she brought it on herself.
It's like Lisa is proudly sipping Diet Coke and saying what she has to say.
She's victim blaming, like, with no shame.
With absolutely no, even not even like, I'm sorry, but just being like, this is how it is, and does not care how it sounds. And I was like, go fucking off.
Winnie's jaw dropped, and she goes, Lisa, sometimes you can't. She said, I think she's embellishing these things. How do we know? We don't know. And then she goes, you can't always recognize when someone is being abused, Lisa.
She goes, sometimes if you have not been in abuse, you do not know, then it is abusive. And Lisa goes, whatever. Her trauma is not an excuse to treat all of us like shit. And I was like, that's true.
Is fair in life. Someone, no matter how, like, I always think about that because, like, you know, I used to be like, poor me with some stuff. And it's like, I have no, like, you don't have an excuse if you're a little shit.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do. Like,
lots of people have been traumatized, like, and are like great people.
Yeah. Like, and also her mom stuff has nothing to do with like spreading rumors about Angie K's husband and being like annoying. And also, like, she was really rude. I forgot how rude she was to Lisa when Lisa lost her $60,000 ring. And Monica, like, came for her and just, like, screamed at her in the Sprinter van. Was like, you are your mom. And we'll get to that because Lisa also says that.
Lisa last night tweeted, I'm irritated.
There's no one funnier than her. And even, like, her self-centeredness and just inability to have a conversation about anything other than herself, I find to be incredibly endearing
and refreshing.
Yeah, it's like, it's great. It does not irk me whatsoever. She kills me.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. I have breaking news for all the men out there who are looking for a little cup support. Finally, MeUndies is unveiling their latest gifts to help men feel big, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. This micromodal sling keeps things separated and lifted. 9 out of 10 women swear this sophisticated brief technology will make you look huge. And that's all that matters, right? I personally have not tried the contoured pouch and ball caddy, but I do have a pair of high-cut, high-waisted MeUndies, and I'm obsessed with the material. I love to sleep in full coverage underwear, and these are so soft, they're comfortable, they're also flattering. They don't cut in weird to my hips or waist, and I'm positive that based on my experience with MeUndies, the men who decide to go down a contoured pouch and ball caddy road are also going to be singing MeUndies praises. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes XS to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all day wear. They use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers. Not happy with your first pair of undies? It's on MeUndies. Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/sexy. That's MeUndies.com/sexy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Heather and Meredith meet for, what was it called, Franklin Avenue? I was like, what the fuck? Where are these fucking places?
It was weird. Yeah.
For drinks and
they
lunch.
They meet to like chat about the party and say how they're like going to go, but then also leave early.
Heather is still triggered by Jack.
Heather needs to get over it.
She basically is like, I just feel very, she admits it. She's like, I'm very triggered that Lisa gets to be like fast and loose with her Mormonism and still remain like intact member of the Mormon community, but I was like banished and I did everything I was supposed to do, and that's just how it be
sometimes. Heather,
she gatekeeps bad Mormonism. She can be, yeah, the only one.
Just be a bad Mormon. You are a bad Mormon, don't worry about it.
True bad Mormons don't give a shit about teenagers going on missions.
I know.
She wants to be part of it still.
Why, as a bad Mormon, are you obsessed with Jack?
She says that, she's like, I don't understand. Like, Lisa gets to wear strapless dresses to the temple.
You cut to Lisa in like a full like tube dress. And she's going, I don't even care. I'll wear this to church. I'll wear it right to church right now. Won't I, John? Wouldn't I wear this to church with like a little jacket with sunglasses? Lisa would show up to church in a strapless dress and sunglasses. And he goes.
And then Heather goes, that's just East Coast Mormonism. And I was like, oh, shut up. And then Meredith goes, she thinks for a minute. She goes, is this such a thing as East Coast Mormonism?
Meredith is like on DMT.
Is this such a thing
as fractals? She's staring off in the distance. She like is microdosing, but accidentally did a bigger dose than usual. Something is afoot.
Is this
East Coast?
Lisa had a lunch. Heather's getting ready for Bobby's party, and Bobby's getting ready with Whitney when she has a full glam team. And Bobby's so cute. I'm obsessed with her.
She's so cute.
She's funny as fuck. She gets like painted on like red eyebrows because her eyebrows are really faint. And she goes, whoa, I have eyebrows. And she's such a like real, like she's very her age.
Yeah, I love her.
So cute.
I love Whitney going, watching my baby girl get glammed. It's like her having realization, like just the sentence, like watching my baby girl get glammed, I realized dot dot dot. It's like,
who are you?
Who are you?
I just think she's like gonna be the coolest person, probably.
She's so sweet. Yeah. I like don't want her to know any pain.
Me neither. Heather's getting ready with her daughters, who are like very tall.
Mm-hmm.
And Angie K calls. She's getting glammed for the party, and she says that Lisa had like a private lunch with the adults, some of the adults in the group, for Jack's mission announcement, and she didn't invite Heather.
Well, Heather would have brought down the vibe. No one wants a hater there when you're literally about to go to fucking Bogota, Colombia for 2 years to like go knock on doors and tell people about LDS.
Heather was so upset. You could see her face. She mission announcement.
She's reliving her bad Mormon excommunicated trauma all over again at the hands of one Lisa Barlow.
And she goes,
in her luncheon.
Oh, Heather, I'm so sorry.
Auntie Kate loved revealing that information, that she was invited to the luncheon.
Hell yeah.
And Heather was not.
The skating party looks so cute. I had a Hawaiian theme party when I was
cute.
Five. Probably
I had
problematic.
Skating part. There was a skating rink that we would all have our birthday parties at.
Fun. They're walking into the roller rink and Lisa just goes up to some random woman when they get in and she goes, we painted those tiki torches together.
Do
I'm going to go fix
them?
One.
I have to fix this. It's bothering me. Angie K sits Lisa down to tell her that she spilled the beans to Heather about Lisa's brunch. And Lisa goes, Oh, why did you tell her? I need a dirty Diet Coke.
I love it. Whitney arrives with the girls on the party bus and she goes, we are here. And Meredith goes to Whitney, wow, you look very Hawaiian. And Whitney goes, well, you know, in theme. Meredith, is this a lure? What is this?
I've been to the Big Island.
I've been to... Where are we?
She was mahalo. Meredith walks in and like says hi to one person. Then she's like, well, it's time to leave. And then strolls up to Seth and is like, we must go. He's like, bye.
Into the night they go. There's some hot gays there. And I wrote, Sean is shaking. Whitney has like a gaggle of young, like millennial gays.
She does. I was like, damn, her gays look fun. I'll bet they're a good hang.
Oh, for sure.
To hang with Whitney and her gays, where she grabs one and she's like, come on, let us go skate. I was like, wait, I'm jealous. Sean, he's squeezing his legs together so his boner doesn't fucking rocket through his tight pants.
His ass just boom, boom, boom,
he's
boom,
on Grindr
boom.
In the bathroom.
Heather is so ready to bring Lisa into this mess. Monica, mm-hmm. She goes, does Lisa say, choke on my name in your mouth?
No. So Angie K tells Lisa that she told Heather about the brunch. And then Lisa's stressed. So she goes strolling up to the bar and orders a truly befuddling drink where she goes, okay, I need a Diet Coke with a shot of cream for sure. And I was like,
cream? Cream? Kahlua?
Unclear. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't super care to know. Mm. But this is also like, I forgot because they have like a little bar for all the underage girls to get like wild Coca-Cola creations.
Yeah.
And I forgot that like it is like a real Utah thing, I think, to make like crazy Coke drinks.
Really? Oh, because they can't.
Like big soda, like crazy sodas with like all different flavorings and like ingredients.
Because they can't drink.
I can't relate because I'm a Diet Coke purist. Like I don't want anything in there except if it's from Sonic. And then I want vanilla Diet Coke with extra vanilla. But that's like the only time I would ever.
I don't fuck with vanilla.
Really?
Cherry Coke, yes.
I'm a vanilla girl.
Bobby's like, I got a Diet Coke with a Dr. Pepper and coconut and... It was so...
She's like, and peach. And Whitney was like, okay, slow down now, okay?
She kills me. I'm like, she made me like emotional. I was like, she's so pure. And you're right. Please don't.
Be kind to her. Yeah. So then Heather like goes in sidebars with Monica. And then she's like, basically, Lisa thinks you're embellishing all your stories about your mom. And that's when Monica's like, she can't take her name out of my mouth. She can't take my name out of her mouth. Choke on it.
And when Monica and Lisa do confront each other, she keeps, again, she's like, Lisa's like, your mom's been nothing but nice. I don't understand this. And she goes, everyone said Ted Bundy was not. I'm like, stop saying that. Your mom is not Ted Bundy. Like,
no,
stop.
She's just like,
evoking
has
that.
Borderline personality disorder.
Yeah. Like, if do not.
And she hates you.
And she hates.
And
yeah.
Honestly, we are understanding why. The more you talk, the more we understand. I love Lisa coming over in the middle. And she goes, hey. And then sits down. And she and Monica start going at it. And then Monica's like, yeah, Ted Bundy is in, like, charming too, but then blah blah blah. And she's like, my mom is abusive. She's like a very like Jekyll and Hyde. She's like, can be nice sometimes, but she's also really evil. And then Lisa goes, well, why did you bring her to Easter then? It was like, great question.
I know. I just keep feeling bad because then like you cut to like Monica's kids and they're like having fun, and like the youngest daughter's like, mommy, can we stay longer? And she's like, no, we have to go.
Yeah. But I was like, you like this kind of dysfunction and like...
Oh, for sure.
Leaving.
Yeah.
And then Monica keeps interrupting Lisa. And then Lisa turns to Heather to like make her statement. And then Monica goes, just like my mom. Did you catch that? And like says like Lisa's doing exactly what her mom did to her. And I'm like, A, she's not. And B, how fucking dare you?
Yeah. Also, I'm
have
like...
some respect.
Monica, you really need more therapy because you're like... seeing your mother.
You're turning everyone into your mom.
Yeah.
And that's a you thing.
And then Lisa walks out onto the rink, not skates. And she goes, I can't stand this. I'm being equated to Ted Bundy.
She stands up. She goes, maybe you're more like your mom than you think you are. And then Monica can't take that. So she just goes right into, she goes, oh, okay, 50-year-old wannabe. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. And I was like, I hate you so much. Like, when people fight like that, it's like you're incapable of actually having a conversation and talking things out. So you're going to, like, age shame. And not only that, but you're going to age shame the queen of Sundance? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Lisa goes, you're going to age too, Monica.
Everything Lisa says is true.
She's not wrong.
She goes, you wish you had what I had at 50.
She does. Monica is just triggered by Lisa's success.
Yeah, she's married. She has, like, money. Her husband loves her. Like, she's still...
And she's, like, Mormon.
She's still in the Mormon.
She's a sexy Mormon. Lisa should write a book called Sexy Mormon.
Strapless Mormon.
Strapless.
Tube Top Mormon.
East Coast Mormon.
Oh my god. The like glam non-binary.
I know. I was.
They're like, I think they're an employee of Prism or Wild Rose Beauty or something. Because...
I think they're a skate. I think they work at the skate thing.
Because I was like, who is this?
I was getting like skate
legend. This glam icon in heels, strutting around the rink, holding the cake.
With that haircut?
I was like, you are
makeup?
Chris
I was like, whoops, are
Jenner?
They?
Who is this? I was like, more of this person.
It was
person.
Like a Chris Jenner, but it was also like, I've seen some like gaze at raves with that kind of haircut.
It's like
it's almost like a Caesar, but then also a mullet somehow.
I was, and then there's a shot of them walking later. You just see them strutting with their heel. And I was like,
I needed the cameras to follow.
See,
immediately launch the spinoff. I want to know where they are going.
An LGBTQ roller rink and in the middle of an island in the middle of a Mormon sea.
Holding the cake, also being like,
serving so much cunt. And just fucking sugaring up the scene. I was like, this is star power. I was literally
this
like,
star
ah!
power. No, I rewound. I kept watching. I was like, oh my God.
Whitney says, star recognize star. Talent recognize talent. You hold the cake.
Hold the cake. You must be front and center for the big reveal of the golf cart.
It was Mage.
So then, what?
It was Mage, the golf cart reveal.
Yeah. So Bobby gets a golf cart. It also just like cuts to Monica's daughters like seeing Bobby get the golf cart.
The golf cart.
Like, the golf cart.
Yeah, that was
and
dark.
I was like, you're not going to get a golf cart for years.
And then Heather goes and talks to Jack with Lisa. And the way she's like, Jack, congrats. I heard you're going to Columbia. And he's like, yeah, going to Bogota. She's like, wow, you're going to be great. And I'm like, are you, like, flirting with him? Jack hates his mom. It's really sad.
I know. It's awful.
He's so disingenuous. He's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go now. See you guys. Like, he could not want to be there any less.
I know. Have some respect.
Have some goddamn respect.
Lisa goes, look, I didn't mean to exclude you. Like, listen, I'm respectful of your journey. Like, and you're on a journey, and I love your journey for you. But, like, I didn't want to have you at the brunch. It was talking about his mission and what he's doing. And then Lisa's like, I'm not, or Heather's like, I'm not on a journey. She goes, I would argue and say you are.
Yeah, I think you are.
You've written a book, you're on a fucking journey. When one writes a book,
they're on a journey.
Barks on a fucking journey. And she's like, it just sucks because you're like, you're not a Mormon. Like, you're not a Mormon. And Lisa goes, I'm 100% Mormon. Heather, I'm 100% Mormon. That's why my kid's serving the Lord.
She got her ass.
But the way she's like laughing is also like she knows that.
Yeah,
that's
she's like
true.
She's like a Long Island, New York girl. Like, she's a Mormon.
She's a native New Yorker.
Yeah.
In the truest sense, she is lips.
She's no one opens the door. Whenever Lisa walks through Salt Lake City, you hear, you're a native New Yorker.
I love Heather. I'm 100% Mormon. That's of my kids serving the Lord.
It's like in Drop Dead Gorgeous. Me without a stitch of makeup?
It was so that.
Yeah.
Heather needs to chill.
Yeah, she's... Methinks the lady doth whatever she does too much. Methinks the lady doth
go
bad
be a
Mormon
bad Mormon.
Too
you're being a good Mormon, and you need to be a bad Mormon.
Lisa's a... I think she's triggered because... Yeah, Lisa's like the effortlessly a bad Mormon.
She was born bad. She was born bad Mormon. She wears bad Mormon organically, naturally, and well.
Heather can't stand
and
it.
And Heather has to try to be a bad Mormon. Heather wants to be a bad Mormon, but she really is just a good Mormon girl at heart.
Which is fine, but just lean into it.
She should write a sequel called Actually Good Mormon.
Actually, I'm okay, Mormon. I can't believe Lisa and Heather knew each other in college. I want like a young Vookie spinoff of young Lisa.
We've got to get Jim Parsons all of the young content that we could be doing right now.
Young Vookie.
Young Vookie, first of all. When that's a hit, we go to young Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa from birth, when she is born, as we imagined, coming out of the womb. I love that. Your scrubs, they're a beautiful color. They compliment your eyes. I love that.
To her mom. Oh, you're crying. Not crying enough, in my opinion, but I love it, regardless.
The emotion feels disingenuous. I wish you were happier to see me. Anyways.
Where do I go?
I'll feed now.
Anyway. the next day, Lisa is like making her bed, and John, this was so weird. And she's like, Whitney's coming over to teach me how to make a bed. And I was like, what?
I didn't understand that. And then we never got like follow through on it. But then what I did take away from this scene was that they have leather pillows. Mm. And that is sick to me.
Freaks.
That's freakish.
Yeah.
That's like, there needs to be an investigation.
Sweaty.
Why on earth?
No.
There's no reason for that. To ever engage with a leather pillow.
Fuck no.
John goes, hey, how are you? And she goes, oh my gosh, I'm just decompressing from this ridiculous weekend. He goes, it didn't seem that crazy or ridiculous. I was like, don't be a hater. This is where Jack learned this. You need to take Lisa very seriously.
Everything she says, you should take with complete urgency.
Complete. And like, really... it's incredibly meaningful, and you need to like engage with it as though it's life or death.
Heather's getting her daughter Georgia ready for the prom, which I was like, is this actually happening right now? Because it looked really like,
I don't know. I literally could not care less about like Georgia's prom. Like, I'm happy for her that she's going and she's always,
every time she's like doing her daughter's makeup, she's like, are you gonna kiss your boyfriend? She's like, you're going to give him a little HJ over the pants? It's kind of fun. You should do it.
You're going to suck his dick?
You're going to suck his cock? And she's like, Mom?
Mom?
What? You can if you want. You can tell me too.
She wants to know too much. I'm sad that she had a boyfriend and didn't lay down, kiss him until they'd been dating for 9 months. And then after they laid down and kissed, he called her the next day and goes, we're never doing that again.
Gay.
That sucks. Yeah. Also, gay.
So the big...
Speaking of gay, did you see... The only time I've ever seen John Barlow be truly happy was when he was roller skating and holding hands with a man.
With Justin. I was into it.
Eyes on them. Wait, also, Justin was hot when he was younger.
Oh, so hot. Also, Whitney's...
I understand
lips.
Now, like, why Whitney fooked him.
Yeah, he was sexy.
Way long ago. I thought he just always looked like Justin. And I was like, no comprende. But then
Whitney
saw
looks
the...
so different.
I didn't even... Was she in the picture?
Yeah. It was him and... Oh, I him didn't and her and that... Justin holding Bobby at age one.
I literally didn't even know that that was her. I don't even know. I was just like, oh, that's Justin and some woman.
Yeah, because she looked nothing like she does now.
Not like the wild rose we know today.
No.
Wow.
Wow. So the day of the prison party's here, and it's being held at some restaurant. And Lisa walks in first, and she goes, someone holds the door for her, and she goes, hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much. Oh, my God, Whitney.
Love to see you. Oh, my God.
So basically, no one's coming except Angie, Monica, and Lisa. Heather has the prom. Meredith is, like, doing...
She has her jewelry.
Has her journey that she's on. And Jen Shaw's in jail.
Meredith's off, like, licking poisonous toads.
She's off doing frog venom ceremonies.
She's fucking tripping balls somewhere.
Angie and Lisa talk about Monica.
And Angie's just like...
There was so much going on. It was hard for me to take notes in this scene. But basically...
I couldn't take a single note.
Basically, Angie and Lisa start talking about Monica. And Angie's trying to kind of like calm Lisa down and be like, we have to like approach her with, you know, kid gloves. Like she's child of an abusive parent. Like she's going through something. Let's try to understand her. I've given her grace. I should be the one that's mad at her most of everyone. And I'm showing her grace. And Lisa goes, let me finish, Ange. Let me finish. Ange, don't touch me. Let me finish. This is where young Lisa, middle child, comes in. Sarah, plain and tall. Lisa, middle and short.
Middle and talkative. She is most talkative.
And then Monica starts
getting
Lisa comes
involved. In talking and never stops talking.
No, not for the... It's like a... This, I think it was a show so shocking for the editors that they're like, we have to leave this all in. It was like a full in real time fight. And
it was.
Monica is just like, she's like, you're like, you really are my, like my mom, Lisa. And she goes, Monica, chill the fuck out. And then
it's not that deep.
It's not that deep.
It's not that deep. Trust. From what I've seen, she's like, I love her. Also, just doubling down. I mean, like, your mom was lovely. Your mom was gorgeous and lovely to be around. And what I saw was you being very rude to her.
And then Whitney takes to the center and the front and, like, thanks everyone. And while she's talking, she's prattling on for, like, hours about prism and jewelry. Lisa and Monica are engaging in, like, full-on war.
Verbal warfare.
And at one point, Lisa takes out her giant Louis and she's just rummaging through it. And I was like, I know what that smells like. I know what that, like, I've seen that happen. Like, when a woman's rummaging, you know shit is going down.
When a woman rummages and also is in the midst of a verbal altercation and, like, keeps it up but is also rummaging, it's serious.
And, like, maybe puts an alto, like, a mint or something. Like, I've been there when, like, I was misbehaving or something. My sister and I and, like, my mom had her, like, whatever handbag and she was going through it. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, she goes, don't touch me. Stop it, stop it, Monica. Stop it, Ange. Stop it. Don't touch me.
And then Angie K just always, I mean, she's kind of inserting herself in the middle.
Yeah, she was shit-stirring a little.
But Monica just, like, will not stop talking. Like, everything that Lisa says, like, even when the conversation's over, and this is something that, like, drives me insane. There are certain people, like, if you fight with them, they just, like, can't stop. Like, you're like, okay, I'm done having this conversation. Like, that's enough. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then they're like, nee, 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 or, like, they have to say something else.
The final
and
word.
And then
people.
I have to say something else because you can't just, like, let them talk again. You have to let them know that you're done. And then the fight just keeps going.
Monica just keeps kind of laughing. And at one point, Whitney goes, okay, so we are going, this is the brilliant designer of the jewelry line. And this is a spiritualist healer. And she's going to lead us now in a sound bath. And then, like, you cut to all these women, huge crowd of, the whole restaurant's filled to the brim with women. And then Whitney in the front like this. And then the woman standing, like, full on, like, turn of the century spiritualism.
Playing the bowls.
And then at one point, Monica rolls her eyes and Lisa just looks at her and she stares at her and she takes a beat and she goes, Monica, you're being ridiculous. And they're fully fighting while the sound bath is happening and Whitney just keeps peeping over. And at one point, Whitney, because she goes, Lisa Barlow, shh.
Lisa just couldn't take it. She had to speak out. I also loved that gay that was, like, overhearing them and, like, laughing.
Oh, for sure. It was incredible. Hold on, I have a video.
I said, based on my assessment, you don't treat your mother nicely. You do not.
Well, you don't know about...
I just love that. Lisa Barlow, shh. And then Lisa goes,
you're being ridiculous.
You're being ridiculous, Monica.
She goes, stop talking to me.
I'm trying to listen to the sound bath. Bath, 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 bath. It was very, you can leave, 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 leave.
I need, like, to have an event where I'm speaking about something incredibly serious. And then I want to hear out of nowhere, Lisa Barlow going, Monica, stop talking to me.
Me, 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 me. And then Angie goes, Lisa, just stop. You're getting your little jabs in. She goes, I'm not jabbing.
She wasn't. Monica was jabbing.
Monica finally leaves. And then mid-conversation with Lisa, Angie's having, Lisa just leaves. And Angie goes, Lisa? And then all of a sudden, Lisa goes, ah, this is ridiculous. Into the night, she goes.
She has a conversation with Angie K, which is just one-sided. It's Lisa monologuing. And then whenever it's Angie's turn to speak, Angie gets two words in. And Lisa goes, and anyways, I need to finish now. That was crazy. And then even Whitney comes up and she, you can tell that she's irritated. And she's like, so there's lots of jewelry to be sold. And she goes, and one thing I just need to say was that Monica's acting insane. And this is just, like, crazy. And then she just, yeah, walks away. God love her.
Next week, the preview for next week looks incredible. It just starts with Heather going to, do you think I look inbred? And then we just see Mary and she goes, yes. She goes, take it from a truth teller.
And then there's like, truly, this is that Christian Bale. This is the fighter. What Monica's like storyline is with her mom, everyone like in pajamas during the day and like her mom showing up and her being like, stay here, close the door, while she like goes out to talk to her mom who's like dropping the Range Rover off. I was like, this
Melissa Leo vibes.
It is Melissa Leo. Wait, also I became aware that Mary Cosby's son has posted a ton on social media about like doing drugs.
Really?
And yeah, I'm going to send you this article. It's insane. Friend of the pod, Chrissy Milazzo, sent to me.
Oh,
and
love Chrissy.
So Robert Jr. has been posting about doing like drinking codeine and like taking Xanax bars with his like, I guess, wife now. But she was underage for a while and like living at the house with them. And then the cops came and they were, I don't know if they were charged, but they were accused of like harboring a minor. And Mary like didn't know that she was living there or something. It's so bizarre. And that must have been why he got married to her.
Whoa. And that's why.
So now they're like married.
Wait, he's doing like lean. Whoa.
And she's posting what concerns me. I mean, lean is very concerning, but her posting. Also, I'm like, thank God I didn't have Instagram in high school because this literally would have been me. But her posting like pictures of like 4 Xanax bars in her mouth. I was like, girl, you're going to die.
Whoa, they're doing a lot of drugs. I really met my soulmate, he says. Whoa. So they're just like drug friends. Damn.
They're just,
oh my God,
partying.
In one photo, he has a gun and his friend has an AK-47.
No.
Yeah. In the Starcasm. Wow. I mean, it's not surprising. That's why he's so like, what?
Whoa.
It's not surprising that he has this like secret life. Keeps from Mary.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're living with your parents and you live in one wing of the house and they live in the other and you never know what the other's doing, like that's what you do, is you do a ton of drugs.
Yeah.
The gun is a real twist. I didn't think that an AK-47 would be like brought into the mix, but here we are.
It is Utah.
Is Utah like really gunny?
Probably.
Just shooting stuff?
Maybe. I don't know. I think
should I buy just like an AK-47 just to see what it's like? That is just so crazy that like
the fact that we our country,
I could like go drive somewhere and like purchase an AK-47 and bring it back home and then have it in my apartment is wild to me.
You could go like within an hour be the owner of an AK-47. That's just like our country.
Yeah,
you can get.
With, like, no problem or qualms. I could literally stockpile weapons in my apartment, and it would be my right as an American.
It's easier.
Should I make a gun wall of my apartment?
It's easier to
new
get.
New decor.
It's easier to get an AK-47 than it is to get, like, dental insurance.
It's easier to get an AK-47 than to, like, fill my Vyvanse prescription.
Yeah. We live in Fall
Should
of Empire
I just,
Falls.
Like, buy, like, 3 just to have them? Just for shits and giggles? Is that what people did? Like, do you finally reach a point where you're like, you know what? It's my right. I'm just gonna get some.
Yeah. Damn.
Crazy. Oh, he's doing mushrooms. This is concerning. I just
Mary's definitely in my
don't
mom
overdose. Would... I feel like they're gonna die. You can't be like taking drugs like that. In this day and age, you never know what's laced with fentanyl.
Does he work, do you think, or just chills at their how much money do you think they have?
I don't know, but I guess he has like an allowance. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if Mary knows.
It's like in,
this is just crazy to me.
It's like in Versailles when it was like being lived in, like people, there were just people living in like parts of the palace and no one knew that they were even there.
We could probably move into Mary's house like over the weekend and start podcasting from there.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't know.
Well, we'll be back. Have we decided if we're doing, let's watch it and see.
We're going to watch and we're going to see. It does seem like a promising episode.
Yeah.
I do love like a Sutton freak out and we get some EJ. I'm a showman.
Yes.
The showman goes to work.
This bet on this blonde.
So we'll see.
Cult shout out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God is great.
God is watching us. God is watching from a distance. God is watching us. God is watching.
One day we should shout out all the people whose cards got declined.
In the cult?
But not today. No, not in the cult.
Patreon?
Just like regular. Yeah.
Mine.
Lucy from London.
Lucy from London.
Brooke Johansson.
Brooke Johansson.
Brittany.
Brittany.
Danielle McMillan.
McMillan.
Lady Swanswick.
Just gives no fucks.
Mazatov.
Mazatov.
Mary. Eliza Twaddle, week 2079. Maisie McKinney.
Maisie McKinney.
Mike Earhart.
Mike Earhart.
Sharon Baum.
Realtor.
Courtney Kesselman.
Kesselman.
Carrie Whitmer.
Whitmer.
Owsley.
Owsley.
Mariah Kay. Kathy West.
West.
Rochelle Martino.
Rochelle Martino.
Kit Moore.
Kit Moore.
Orlando.
Orlando.
Nick Sedaris.
Sedaris.
Emily.
Emily. Jeffrey.
Kim Lucas.
Kim Lucas.
And Jeffrey Pradama.
Do we have another cult member now?
We have 23 now.
Wow. That's my lucky number.
Oh, let's have it stay that way. Let's get to 25.
It's a good use of money.
You're listening and you want to throw down $50 a month to get a shout out at the end. That's your prerogative and your money and you're in charge of it. And I salute you for making the choice to give it to Sup.
Me too.
And with that,
we bid you adieu.
We bid you farewell. Goodbye.
Bye.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more Sup and just can't get enough, and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top, only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.